Chronic Illness Warriors, Alyssa Truelove here, your host and chronic illness bestie. And I am thrilled to dive into today's episode because I know you are going to absolutely love it. I am joined by Jess Hay, who is a fellow podcast host and who hosts Patient POV, which is an incredible podcast that shares different chronic illness warriors' journeys. She speaks with healthcare professionals and really just helps to amplify voices of people in the chronic illness, in the rare disease, and that world. She is a chronic illness advocate, and she has the cutest partner in crime, Elda, her service dog in training, where today we are going to chat about all the things. We're going to dive into family events and functions and how to navigate those. We talk about her journey going through to being diagnosed with a rare illness. We talk about different ways you can advocate for yourself, her journey as a podcast host, and what she has learned from her guests. There is so much to learn in today's episode. And not to mention, I just know you're absolutely going to fall in love with her because she has such an amazing personality. So let's dive in, and I can't wait for you to meet Jess. I'm your host and chronic illness bestie, Alyssa Truelove. And this show is dedicated to honest and realistic conversations about building a life you love while navigating the challenges of chronic illness. There is no room for toxic positivity here, and I promise you, I will never claim to have a magic cure for your chronic illness. But what I will do is share my real-life stories, provide genuine strategies, solutions, and invite some incredible guests to support you along your journey. You're listening to the Chronically Fulfilled Life Podcast. Before we dive into today's episode, it's important to note that the content we discuss is based on personal experiences, and we want to emphasize that this is not medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare professionals for personalized guidance on your unique journey. Hello, besties. Alyssa Truelove here, and I am so excited about today's episode. I am joined with Jess Hay. And let me tell you, when I say it has been such a joy to be able to connect with her over first Instagram, then I got to be a guest on her podcast, and now I'm honored to have her on my podcast. This is when the joys of social media just make my heart full because it allows me to connect with people like Jess. So Jess, officially welcome to the Chronically Fulfilled Life podcast.
Thank you so much. Oh, that was such a sweet introduction. Thank you. It's been a super pleasure to get to know you as well. We're Canada besties as well. And so this has been lots of fun.
Yes. And Cher, where are you located in Canada, Jess?
Yeah, I'm just outside of Ottawa, so not too far from the nation's capital.
Yes, which is amazing. And I think it's really cool lately. And I don't know if it's, you know, IG algorithm or what is happening, but I have been able to connect with more Canadian chronic illness warriors, which is super cool. In the past, I have had a lot of connections that are more in the States or globally, which I honor and I love just as much. But there's something about being able to chat about different things that are happening nationally, provincially, municipalities, that it hits a little bit different. So I can't wait to chat today. So yeah. I have to share. Before I hit record today, Jess and I were just kind of catching up a little bit. We were catching up. And one of the things, as we are recording this, this is the Tuesday after Easter weekend, so a holiday weekend. So we were kind of asking about each other's weekends, how it went, what we did. And something we chatted about that I was like, we have to talk about this on today's episode, is that conversations between chronic illness besties when it comes to the holidays are very different than conversations with just, let's say, quote unquote, healthy people. And don't get me wrong, but For everybody, the holidays can be very stressful in so many ways. But one of the things that Jess and I, we were talking about is how picking and choosing sometimes how much energy or how many spoons you have for what you have the ability to do. And Jess, if you want to kind of share a little bit what we were chatting about that with yourself this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And so we had 3 family get-togethers, which is a lot. And so I wanted to contribute. I love baking. And so my contribution was a cake. So that takes up a lot of spoons. Yeah, it was great. It actually tasted great, but that takes up a lot of spoons to make and prep and do. And then I went to one of the family get-togethers, but I decided not to go to the other two because I just didn't have the social battery. I didn't have enough spoons. We talk about spoons a lot here, and you were so kind to be able to come onto my podcast and do a really great explanation on what spoons are. But I really do love the analogy because like it really is so true that like even within a day you only have a certain amount of spoons, but like you also have to think about the fact that if you do something one day, you're gonna have less spoons the next day, like to even start out your day. That was the game we played.
It's like balancing. And there is a creator online, and I can't think about her name right now, but she does such a great job of sharing that and visualizing it. She does one skit, and it's about the spoon bank. So as if you were going to get money out of a bank, but you go to get spoons. So a healthy person, they're like, I'd like to go on a walk today. And they're like, okay, one spoon, please. You know, and she comes, and it's like, da-da-da, and it's, that will be 437 and a half spoons, you know, and now you are in debt for spoons, which is so true. And if you haven't heard us talk about it before, the spoon theory is a way to describe energy. And Christine is a fellow chronic illness warrior, and she had coined this phrase when she was explaining to her friend what it was like to live with a chronic illness. In her case, it was lupus. And she was sharing this, and they were at a diner, and all she had to kind of use as representation was spoons. So that's what she used to explain it. And hence, you'll see online, people will call themselves spoonies. And it's just such a great to share what it is like living with chronic illness. And if you haven't already, I have a couple other episodes where I dive into the spoon theory a little bit more. And Jess and I did a podcast episode on her podcast, which we'll share all the details about in a little bit, that you can listen to where we dive in a little deeper to that. But yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's so true. Finding the energy to see, okay, where can I spend my energy and how is this going to affect? It's not just looking at like today and tomorrow. It's looking at, I know for myself, the next week. I have to look and see, okay, what do I have? And this is another thing that I talk about a lot, but I want to bring up again, is that wheel of life. So the wheel of life, looking at our chronic illnesses, they affect only our health and wellness. Obviously, yes, they impact that. It's huge, but they impact our whole life. So our business and our career, our relationships, our schooling, our fun activities, our spiritual, like it's going to have an impact on everything that we're doing. So I know for myself, when I'm looking forward, I'm looking and seeing, okay, what do I have in the business? You know, do I have a lot of podcast episodes I'm recording this week? Do I have a lot of client work I'm working on in my other business? Do Justin and I, my hubby, do we have a date night coming up that is really important to me? What are those things that are coming up so I can manage my energy? Because I know, and I don't know about you, Jess, but when I do something socially, like if I do a family function or an outing with my girlfriends, even when I still do a little bit of work in person. So if I know I have that coming up, when I say I need 2 to 3 business days to recover, like it's not a joke. Like that is for real.
Yeah. No, for sure. And we were talking before as well about the fact of when we have family functions or family things like that, sometimes there's a little bit of like stress that comes just like having to go and like sometimes there's a little bit of weird family dynamics and all those things that you have to navigate and then be like very much on for. Like you have to be very careful on what you're saying or what you're doing, like all those different things. And so that takes up even more spoons than like even just going with your friends to a brunch or something like that, you know? So we were kind of just talking about that. And I totally think that's so true.
It's so true. And I think too that stress that happens in your life, whether it's family stress, work stress, relationship stress, any stress that you are having, that is going to impact you. That is going to impact your mental, your physical, your emotional health. And I know for myself, which this is something I am working on, and I will say it once, I'll say it again, I am not perfect. I share my stories and things that I've navigated. Sometimes I share things that I am trying to get better at myself. I will not lie. I have a way of taking on stress sometimes because I want to help everybody. I want to help everybody, and I want to do things for everybody and show up for the people in my life. But sometimes I have to realize I can't pour from an empty cup. And if I put too much stress on myself, that's not giving me the ability to help people or show up in the way that I want to show up, right? If I drain all of my spoons and I'm in the negative, I'm in pain, I'm probably going to be a bit agitated and I'm going to be a little more quick fire or a little irritated by things that wouldn't normally irritate, right? So it doesn't allow me to show up the way I want to. So remembering, respecting your boundaries and what you need to do for your body, not everybody is going to agree with that. And that can be a very challenging thing to navigate. But what I want to share with you is when it comes to plans with friends, plans in your relationship, especially family plans, because I feel like those ones, they put the extra pressure on, it's okay if you have to modify or show up in different ways, right? If it is something that you can't show up to, like Jess had a great example. Maybe you can't show up in person because you have no more spoons, but you want to send cookies you baked, or you want to show up. Maybe there's kids in your life and you can't show up, and maybe you want to send them something, right? There's so many ways that you can show up that may not be physical, or even if you do show up, maybe that is for a limited time. But you respecting your body and listening to your gut is so, so important on this journey. So I just want to tell you, it is okay to say no, and no is a full sentence. It is okay to set those boundaries, and it is okay to honor what you need because your needs are valid and you prioritizing your needs are valid. And I know especially holidays can be such a challenging time for many. So I just want to say sending you so much love and the biggest hugs, and something that I share a lot, but I want to say this loud and clear. You are not alone. We are here to support you. So as you're listening to this, if this is something that resonates, please reach out, because I never want anybody to feel alone on this journey or when you're going through challenging situations.
No, for sure. For sure. That was so, so well said, for sure. I totally agree.
Okay. So now that we've kind of chatted about the holidays and we got some PSA important messages out there, I want to dive in. And Jess, I would love for you to share, what is your experience living with chronic illness, kind of where that journey first started to where you are kind of now?
Yeah, for sure. So just a brief history on kind of my health journey is that when I was like 3 or 4 years old, I got really sick and was in the hospital. I ended up having meningitis and a rheumatic fever, and then something called EDM, which is like basically MS, but like only a one-time flare of it. So I don't have MS, but it was a demyelination of the neuron. So for anybody who's listening, it doesn't understand that neurons are, or like your neurons are the type of cells in your brain, and you have a covering over them to protect them like an electrical wire. And the demyelination, which is what I mentioned, is when this infection starts eating away at it, and then there's exposed nerves underneath. And so that was in my brain. And so luckily I was so young, I healed completely. All my MRIs were great. So that was when I was much younger. And then around grade 7, I ended up having some stomach issues and got diagnosed with celiac. And then a little while later, I was having some, it was actually came out as nosebleeds. I was having nosebleeds with huge blood clots. And I ended up getting diagnosed with hypothyroidism, So hypothyroid. And so then I was like, okay, great. Like, we got that all figured out. Keep moving on. And then when I was 17, I think it was, I started going to the doctor because I was complaining of leg pain. And so I had leg pain. I didn't know what was going on. It ended up being like a chronic pain thing. And so she ended up sending me for a multitude of tests. And we ended up figuring out that I had POTS through this because I was actually quite reluctant to be like, I wasn't reluctant to do the test, but I was like, I really don't think it's POTS. Like, I am having leg pains. That's my problem. I have anxiety and I have leg pain. That's my two things. And it turns out it wasn't just anxiety. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a little bit of an anxious person, but I had more than just anxiety and, or not just anxiety, but I had more than anxiety. And so I ended up getting diagnosed with POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. So when I stand up, my heart rate goes up too high. And then when I was getting all this testing done, I ended up seeing a rheumatologist, and she ended up, after a while, diagnosing me with a rare neurovascular condition called erythromelalgia. Big, long, fancy word, which is just basically the like inappropriate constriction and dilation of my blood vessels, specifically in my legs and my feet. So it causes like a lot of heat and a lot of pain. So they constrict and dilate when they're not supposed to. So yeah, that takes us to here. I'm still getting tested for a few other things. I'm going to Toronto actually in May. Yeah, exactly. We should get a coffee.
Good, 100%.
In person. Yeah. But yes, I'm going in May for some more testing, and then I'll be going again hopefully soon for another test. But in Canada where we are, I don't know if anybody else is listening from here, but we have extremely long wait times. Yes. And so I got an appointment for this neuromuscular doctor, and I saw him in June, and then I got a requisition for I don't even know what it's called, but like an EMG, but it's like a temperature regulated EMG test or something like that, where they're testing like the nerves, something along those lines. I'm not sure about the acronyms, but I was told that I would get called in and I would get that done, and I would have to get it done in Toronto. And it's been over 6 months and I haven't even gotten the appointment date for a test. So it's just like crazy wait times, all this different stuff. So that's kind of where we're at. Still getting tested for a few things, but that's the current diagnosis status.
Thank you for sharing all of that information, because I think definitely as we share our stories and different conditions or different avenues that have been followed, I think it definitely helps other people as well and creates awareness. I know for myself, when I got diagnosed with endometriosis, it was very much, I always say in the weirdest way, I'm grateful I had to have emergency surgery, because I wouldn't have known otherwise that was causing all of these things. And just like endometriosis or POTS or anything like that, there are a lot of wide range of symptoms. I mean, when you Google WebMD and it says, you know, these are the symptoms, that's not necessarily everything. And I was actually at an event a couple weeks ago for endometriosis, which was really, really cool. And we were talking about that. And four of us there with severe endometriosis, we all had different symptoms. So I can completely understand when you're saying, well, I have leg pain and I am suffering from anxiety. That does not equal what it says POTS is, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But learning more and more, you're like, wow, there's such a drastic range of conditions and symptoms for this chronic illness.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, even when I did the POTS test, like, so I did the standing test where you like basically, the summary of the test is like you stand up for 10 minutes, and if your heart rate has an increase of 30 beats per minute, then it's like positive for POTS. There's a few more little technicalities in there, but that's the general gist of it. And so I was like, I don't think I have POTS going into the test. And it was an acute paramedic who was doing the test in our clinic, or in my doctor's clinic. And when I got tested, I ended up having an increase of 60 beats per minute. So it was like definitely POTS. And it was the acute paramedic thought I was going to pass out. And I was like, no, this is just normal. Like, it's like, I'm fine. Like, I'll just go to my car. I'll sit in my car and I'll be fine. And he's like, no, you have to sit here for a few minutes because I need to make sure you're not going to stand up and pass out here. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But you're like this- I just, it was just normal. Yeah.
And that is something in a conversation that I've had way too many times of what our bodies have normalized, whether it be pain or standing up and feeling like you're going to pass out. Oh, this is just a Tuesday. I'm good. I know what I do. I'm good. And that's wild.
Well, I had just come from work at that point. And so and then I was going back to work that day. And so that was just like a normal, whatever day it was, but yeah.
That is wild because we normalize things so much and we don't know until we hear other people that we're like, wow, actually, this is not normal. Like, this is not, our bodies should not be functioning like this.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you shared that your rheumatologist that you went to, if I believe I heard you correctly, they were testing you and you got diagnosed with a more rare condition.
Mm-hmm.
What did it look like when they decided to start navigating and looking at maybe non-traditional chronic illnesses or more rare forms? How did that process look like? Or what did you advocating or the doctor advocating for you, what did that look like?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, my rheumatologist is one of the best doctors I've ever had in my entire life. She is so
sweet.
We
love that.
We love a supportive doctor. We really do. We do, yeah. And so I was extremely fortunate in that aspect that I got her as my doctor. I had already seen, I think I counted it, of 8 specialists before getting to her. I ended up going to her originally because I had blood work that came back as it was a positive double-strand DNA test, which is a marker for lupus. And so when you do a bunch of blood work, there are going to be things that are maybe not meaning anything. So I did not get diagnosed with lupus. But when you do multitudes of blood work, you're going to find things that are wonky, and especially when you have a chronic illness. And so I got referred to her. When we started exploring things, with a rare disease, most of the time, there's not a lot of research that goes into it because it's just so rare. They're not going to put their research funding money into a disease that only affects a small portion of the population. And so when we were doing the diagnosis, it was a lot of ruling things out. I got tested for this. It didn't come up as positive. So then I did this. It didn't come up as positive. So we're going to try a medication. If this doesn't treat it, then it's going to be. And so it was a lot of weeding things out and having to, similar to fibromyalgia, where it's you have to weed everything out in order to say, okay, yes, it is. I saw a dermatologist to see, because I was getting, I get rashes on my legs too when it, because of the heat. And then I'm still waiting to go see an allergist, which is one of the doctors I'll be seeing in Toronto, to test for mast cell activation syndrome. And so, in theory, that could still be a contributing factor, but we've weeded it out enough that we can positively say that it is this condition, but it took a long time. We're talking years of weeding things out, trying medications. When you start a medication, you need to be on it for a certain amount of time unless it gives you horrible side effects. And then, so it was a long process for sure.
And thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that just popped into my head as you were sharing it, because you have gone through tests, medications, noticing things, all of this. Now, here we are a big fan of tracking your pain and symptoms, and we think it is super, super important. I've created resources, and I'll leave the links below to grab. But what advice can you share with somebody who maybe is earlier on trying to navigate and going through and maybe noticing different things or things that maybe they don't see as it's their normal, right? What would you recommend they can do?
Yeah, I am a huge advocate for people tracking their pain. That being said, I am the worst person at tracking my symptoms. I am not the type of girly who can journal at nighttime and get into a good routine when it comes to that. But when you start a new medication, it is so important to track your symptoms because you need to be able to catch the differences. One medication that I started that has actually been like a really helpful medication, the changes were so subtle every so often. But when you look at it on the grander scheme of things, it is a huge difference. And so like, even just for those things is really important to be able to see it. Because then when I go to my doctor and they go, how is it? The first time I was like, I don't know. Like, I think it's better, but I'm not quite. So you can feel more empowered in what you're saying and how you're saying it. And so like, even just for like the self-assurance of like, should I be on this medication or not? Do I need medicine interventions? Like, those are the things you can understand your baseline and you can understand the progression of what you've had.
Thank you for sharing that. It's super important. And yes, and something I want to add to that is not only the medications that you're on that are helping you and benefiting you, something that I've noticed with this as well, and I don't know about yourself, but is I keep that information for medications that I've been taken off or discontinued. And then if I see a different doctor, I can share and feel empowered by like, this is why, like, you will not go on this medication again, or these are the side effects that happened. So if they are thinking of, because a lot of the times, especially with chronic illness, maybe it's like a blanket statement, but they'll be like, oh, this drug will help with this, you know? And it's like, actually, I went on this, X, Y, and Z happened, and I don't feel comfortable going on that. And then they can maybe see, okay, if that happened, maybe I need to go to this family of medicine or whatever that looks like. Because also, if you can share, say your blood pressure got really high from a medication, just throwing something random out there, and it's in the same family, they can be like, okay, well, maybe this family of medication, we don't want to put you on this because of the high blood pressure, right? And looking at other things. So
For sure.
I'm totally, after we're done this episode, I'm going to give you my pain and symptom tracker because I think you will love it and it's super easy to use. Because I'm also not a journaling and I'm a sucker for a good spreadsheet. So that's what I
love a good spreadsheet. I love a good spreadsheet.
And you just drop down,
sure.
You choose. So
love that. No, but even just like speaking to what you were literally just the example there, I didn't notice it, but my mom, I live with my mom still. And so she had noticed that I was like, my mental health significantly was horrible on one medication in particular. So we stopped it. And then I went to a cardiologist, I think, and they were like, oh, we're thinking about doing this one. And she was like, no, not that one, please. And so like, even for that point of like things, being able to give the information of like, I'm not going to try this because it didn't work. And this is the reason why is so empowering to be able to say.
For sure. And I love that your mom advocates and supports and takes notes of those things, because having people in your life that are doing that is huge, because a lot of the time we can't see what is going on with us because we're in it, right? We are in it. I remember I was on this one drug that I'm not going to say the name of it, but it was just awful. And my mental health as well took a toll. And my husband looked at me the one day and said, you are a shell of who you were. And he was meaning that with love. He wasn't meaning it by anything, but he's like, everything of you is just, you are in survival mode. You're just going through and you've lost all of that about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously nobody wants to hear that. That's not something you want to hear. But from that, other people seeing that dramatic difference in me allowed me to advocate, because trust me, when I was 10 years ago, I went to the doctor. The doctor told me to do something. And I was like, okay, the doctor's going to help me. Okay, I'm going to take this medication, you know, and go on my merry way. Where in the last 10 years, I have learned, well, I guess it's over 10 years now, but I have learned so much in the sense that doctors are trained on what drugs help certain things and what those things do. And they have lots of education on that. And there's so much valuable information that they have. But everybody's body, we are like snowflakes. Everybody is so different, right? So by being able to share, you're actually helping them be able to help you.
Yep. No, for sure. Yeah. And they are trained to, what's the saying? They're trained to hear, when they hear, oh goodness, what's the saying? It's the horses versus the zebras. They look for horses, not zebras.
Yes. It's like the exception, not the rule. They're looking to like the rule versus the exception, where more and more people are the exception, and not everybody's body and their chemistry and everything else is going to react the same way. Just like not everybody's symptoms are the same way.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why rare diseases are like the logo or like the symbol for rare diseases is zebras. And it's when you hear the sounds of hooves, think horses, not zebras, is what medical students are taught. And so then we're trying to think, oh, we might be zebras. And so that's where if you ever see like rare diseases, you'll probably see like zebra prints or those different things. And that's where that comes from. Yeah.
Wow. That's so good to know because I have seen that around a lot and I've looked into like a little bit, but I haven't quite understood like the behind the scenes of it. So that's really cool to know. And I love that.
Yeah.
It's very empowering and such a great visual way to think about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where that comes from.
I love it. Okay. So we are going to chat a little bit about probably one of the cutest guests we are going to have on the podcast by proxy. So Jess, can you introduce me to your partner in crime?
Yes. So I have a service dog in training. She's still in training now. She's only a year and a half, but she is a little golden retriever puppy. And by little, I mean, she's 65 pounds or something like that. So not quite little, but she's my little buddy. She comes to work with me now. We've been doing some really great training. She is trained to do tasks like alert to my high heart rates. And then she's also able to do like deep pressure therapy when I'm having a POTS flare. So it helps me lower my heart rate. And then she also does like medication reminders. So I have an alarm that goes off. I'm horrible for taking my daytime medications because I take one at like noonish and I take one at 4-ish, give or take. But I, even with a timer on my phone, I suck at taking them. So she helps me remember to take those. And then she also is getting trained to be able to like pick things up and give it to me and retrieve items that I ask for. So those are the two that she hasn't really perfected yet, but we're working on those quite hard right now. But yeah, she comes to work with me and she comes everywhere I go, really. And she's doing a really awesome job. But yeah, I've had her since I've had her since she was just a puppy, like 8 weeks old. And I'm self-training her, but I'm working with a trainer in Ottawa. And so she, between the two of us, she's getting all the training that she is hopefully going to need.
That's incredible. And for somebody that has maybe looked into this as a form of support and something to help them mm-hmm. in their chronic illness journey, what was kind of that path that brought you to making that decision for your journey?
Yeah. So I have always been a dog person, first and foremost. I love dogs. And so that was part of it. But I think one thing that I was naive to see is the fact that like how much my body can't do now. And so I'm very fortunate to have a family that is able to take her on walks and able to feed her when I can't get off the couch or something like that. And so I think that's one thing that I would specifically say of like, just a PSA, like you need to make sure that you have the supports in place in order to be able to care for your animal because they still need to get cared for even when you're having a bad day. So that's my first PSA. But I was looking into the service dog things. I was looking into tasks she would be able to do for me. And that was kind of how it started. I started looking at different trainers that do like programs for service dogs, specifically for POTS. And I was able to see the things that they were able to do for like the tasks they were able to do. And I found that that would be really helpful for me. And so then I found a really reputable breeder because I wanted a puppy in particular. Like I'm very much if you're going to have a pet, get a rescue dog or like a foster dog or whatever. But just because I needed to make sure that it had like a really good parents and bloodline and all that, I went through a really reputable breeder. And then we got her as a puppy. And yeah, so that was kind of the journey on what we were doing there.
And I'm so excited for the two of you to continue to grow together and your experience and how she's going to be able to support you.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I didn't really anticipate as much was the fact of like family and friends interactions. So all my friends have been super supportive and whatnot. And whenever I am going to, let's say I go to a coffee shop with a friend and I have her with me, they're very good not to touch her until we take the vest off and like all that. And so that's been really good. But then when it comes to like family events, while we're talking about like Easter and all this different stuff, it's a weird mindset shift of them always seeing me not ever having a dog as like a service dog, but now I'm saying I need one, or like I sometimes will go to places with her, but there are times where I won't take her with me because she's still in training. And so the goal would be to take her everywhere. But it is an interesting mindset shift of like, well, are you going to let her come into your house? And like, I can't expect you to let her come in your house because it's your own property. But at the same time, by you not letting her come, it's kind of not giving me the choice to use her as an aid. And so then it's limiting if I can come or not. And so like, those are just interesting family dynamics that I wasn't necessarily anticipating, but now I'm experiencing as she is being trained more and more. She's going to come more places with me. So yeah, that was just an interesting one considering we were talking about family dynamics. That was an interesting one I recently experienced.
100%. And thank you for sharing that, because I think people that are experiencing that as well, they probably are having those thoughts or going through that too. So I think that's super important to talk about. When you were talking as well, something that came into my mind about that is when we live with invisible illnesses and invisible chronic illnesses especially, is we can look totally fine. The amount of people that are like, well, you're so pretty. You look great. Thank you. My insides are attacking me. Yeah, you're so young. Yeah. You're great. La, la, la. Okay. Thanks, but that doesn't mean my illness is just like away, or I need this to support me. Somebody made a great point of this, and I can't think of who it was on the online world, but it was in regards to people that use mobility aids as needed versus if they have to use them all the time. So something like a cane, a wheelchair, anything like that. And what a great reference that they made was, if you wear glasses, sometimes you need glasses for nearsighted or farsighted, right? So somebody doesn't come up to you and say, well, you needed glasses to read the paper yesterday. Why aren't you using it to drive your car? You know, people aren't asking those questions just because you can do something today, or maybe it's a different task or a different situation, doesn't invalidate your need to use something. So same with Elda. Elda, right? Elda, your service dog, is some situations maybe you won't bring her for different reasons, because maybe your mom's coming with you, or maybe you have, you know, other support. Whereas in those cases where you need, like you said, it's almost forcing your hand that if I can't bring Elda with me, unfortunately, I'm not able to attend, because that is putting myself at risk. And I'm not willing to do that to have brunch with you, you know?
Or like, even when it comes to like the day of, like maybe I'll be feeling great and I won't be needing her that day, or maybe she's going to have a really bad day and I'm going to have to kind of not be able to bring her that day, but maybe she's going to be doing great and maybe I do need her. And so I would love to have the option. And like, it's not kind of your job to make that decision for me. That's kind of the, and I mean, don't get me wrong. If it's your own house, it's your own property, that's one thing. But like, just know that like, if you're not letting her come, you're kind of forcing my hand as well. That's kind of all I was,
100%. And I think too, something that I've learned in my life, and I don't know if you've noticed this as well, Jess, but I used to not tell anybody about my chronic illness. I pretended it didn't exist for the better part of a decade. I was like, oh, I'm fine, blah, 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 you know? And then when I would end up in the hospital or drastic things would happen with my health, people would be like, oh my gosh, you know? And I'm like, this is a Tuesday. But they didn't know because I wasn't sharing with them. So I also find one thing that I'm really trying to do with the people in my life, those core people, those important people, is I'm helping to educate them as well. And obviously they have to be willing. They have to be willing. But by you sharing that this is Elda, this is why and what Elda does for me, this is how she supports. And trust me, I'm not saying you need to justify yourself to anybody. So if you are listening, you owe nobody justification. But sometimes from them being able to hear something like even explaining the spoon theory or explaining what role Elda plays in your healthcare can help them see the need or to understand because if they haven't experienced this themselves, then they might not really, they might not get it. And they won't 100% get it, even if you do explain it to them, but it gives them more of that opportunity to have that empathy and like to learn.
Yeah. And but on a caveat on that, don't expect them to understand if they haven't already, because like, don't come into this situation with all these high hopes of like, you're going to explain it, they're going to understand. And then if they don't, you're going to be disappointed. So like, come in as like, you're willing to educate, but maybe have that mindset of, I've had family where they're like, well, you've been fine your entire life. What is this? Like, I don't understand. And so like with time now, they're starting to understand more because it's been two or three years since we had that initial like educational conversation. But, and they're definitely like a lot more supportive now, but there was a time where like, they were like, well, you were able to do it literally like last. And I was like, I would have been able to do it maybe yesterday, but I can't do whatever we were doing that day. And so, yeah. Also, just to put a note on what you were saying before, what we were talking about before, the masking side of things, where there was somebody who posted a really good video earlier today, I think it was today. And it was like the, well, oh, you have a really nice personality. Like, and they were like, oh, this isn't actually my real personality. This is just like how I am to you guys sort of thing. They were like, oh, can you show me your real personality? Like, we're friends. And she was like slumped over and just like focusing in one spot and just like dead looking. And they were like, maybe you should go back to what you were before. And they're like, yeah, I can do that. But it was a cute little skit. Yeah, exactly. But anyways, yeah. So the masking is a very real thing, but to share and educate is important, but don't have the expectations on what they're going to respond as.
That is such a great point. Thank you for making that, because that is so true, is to not have it because you don't want to be disappointed and to set your expectations so they are realistic, because everybody's different. Humans are different and they react in ways. And especially sometimes the people closest to you will react in ways that you might not expect from them, right? Mm-hmm. So, and with that, it brought me the saying, and I can't remember the saying and it's bothering me, but it goes along the lines of, you can't, like, don't make yourself uncomfortable to make somebody else comfortable, right? And you can't sacrifice your mental, emotional, physical health to protect somebody else's mental, emotional, physical health, right? So you need to, even if it is uncomfortable, still feel with your gut and what it needs, because you putting yourself out at risk is not worth having Aunt Susie's mac and cheese, you know? Like, yeah. It's not worth it because then at the end of the day, you are the one that's going to suffer or be left with that at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, for sure. 100%. Yeah.
Okay. So something else we are going to touch on, because we've kind of hinted at it a little bit, but Jess has an incredible podcast and I was honored to be a guest on it. So Patient POV is the podcast. And I know you will do it more justice than I will, but please just share about the podcast, because it is so empowering and I'm so happy you brought it into this world.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. So it was created just in 2023. It's Patient POV. So I wanted to really hear from patients and their perspective on their life journey, as well as like the healthcare system. And then we've also started expanding and bringing on healthcare professionals, and they'll talk about different things that they do, so people can kind of get an idea of different things they could try or implement in their healthcare journey, with the caveat always of talk to your healthcare team before implementing anything. That's always the disclaimer I'm going to keep using on and on and on. But yeah, I really wanted to talk about patient-centered care, as well as advocating for yourself, hearing from other people so that you know you're not alone. But yeah, that's kind of the gist of it. I started it originally because I was in a place where I was feeling like I needed to build my confidence, and I wanted to start doing things that made me, or things that scared me that were still safe that I could do. And so starting a podcast, this is not my comfort zone of talking in front of people, knowing that people are going to listen to my voice being heard. And so I did this as a way to get outside my comfort zone. Goodness, I tell you, the brain fog is really real. I can't sometimes articulate all words. But so that was kind of how it got started. And then I literally just started reaching out to people such as yourself. That's how we met. And just asking people who I was watching on Instagram in particular, started reaching out to them to see if they would be willing to be a guest on my podcast. I'm so fortunate for the amount of people who have said yes, they would. And so I have had guests lined up. I've also now started going into having healthcare professionals, like I mentioned. Yeah, but it's really been a fortunate journey and it's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
I love that. And the links so that you can go and listen will be below as well in the show notes. So definitely go and take a listen. I will also include the episode that we did together.
Yes.
A great episode. Now, because you have connected with healthcare professionals, people with all different kinds of chronic illnesses, what is something that you have learned from them, or maybe something that you'd like to share that you have learned from other people while kind of connecting with them?
Oh, I'm so sorry. That was I typically can get your answers, but that was the first time we cut out. I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize whatsoever. What is, okay, hold on. What is something that you have learned from the guests on your podcast? What is something from talking with other people that experience chronic illnesses, rare diseases, even healthcare professionals? What is something that you'd love to share that has helped you that you have learned?
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is learning to advocate for yourself and being able to come into appointments. I feel like we've talked about this before as well, where you come into it like it's a business meeting. I love that analogy, but I think it's like coming into an appointment, making sure you have all your notes, prepping for it, and then making sure that you are standing up for yourself, because nobody else will. Like, I mean, if you bring somebody else with you, they can probably help you. But at the same time, like, you need to be the one to put your foot down if something is not right. And so even just being empowered in my own journey of being able to advocate for myself in these appointments has been really, really helpful. Another thing I have the patient POV. I now have like a website where it's like a hub of all things that's going on. Within it, I have a freebies section. So if you subscribe at the bottom, you get a password. And the password opens up this freebie section. And one of the things that I have in there is a flare planner. So if you're in a flare, this is like all the information that you would need to know. And so one of the things is like having meals prepped. So I have some recipes there as well that you can like freeze. You can make on a good day, freeze it, and then you can pull it out and reheat it if you are having a good day or a flare day, sorry. And so that is like another thing where it's just like making sure that you are preparing for bad days. So you're setting yourself up for success and being okay with the fact that a flare day may come, but you will just have to take it one day at a time and it's not the end of the world. And this is your normal, or this is your life. And so you need to be like very kind and gracious to yourself.
Yes, advocating for yourself 1,000%. I will shout that off of the rooftops, because it is something that I wish I had known earlier in my journey. And I know you're the same. Yeah. And something that a naturopath actually said to me when we were doing, and I was at a networking event connecting with other chronic illness warriors and people in healthcare, is she said, "I want to offer you compassion." Mm-hmm. She said, "Hindsight is 20/20. And to have kindness with yourself, because you were just a kid when this all happened and you didn't know, right? Yeah. You didn't know." And I was like, I was almost in tears, because it's true. And even with our support systems, like our partners, our family, like especially parents that are supporting a child through something, this is most likely their first time navigating this as well. Mm-hmm. And I always want to say that, because we want to be kind with each other, because they don't know how to navigate this either.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of the times, and not in all cases, but But a lot of the times they are doing their best. They are also scared. They are frustrated. They don't know how to navigate this either, right? So just always keep that as a little reminder.
One of the best things I ever learned from a therapist, actually, was the mindset shift of I should be able to do this, or I should be doing something, to I could be doing something, or I could do this. And it becomes, instead of like feeling guilty about it, it becomes an option. It's just an option. You could be doing something.
I love that. I feel like, oh, we're just kindred spirits. My therapist also said that to me, and she would be like, stop shitting all over yourself. We don't shit on ourselves here. So throw that word out of your vocabulary. Like, we're not using it anymore. And it's true, because we do. We put these expectations on ourselves. So, Well, you know what everybody should do? No, I'm just kidding. What you could do, and I highly recommend you do, is click the links below so you can go listen to Jess's podcast, because let me tell you, you will learn something. You will be able to feel that connection with other people who are going through similar situations and get to know more.
Yeah. And if you've never heard of Patient POV, you can also go on the website. And something that I've created is, if you go to podcast, there are sections or categories of different conditions. And so if you are suffering from, or you want to learn more about something like the gynecological conditions, like endometriosis, adenomyosis, pelvic pain, PCOS, any of those things, I have all the episodes listed where people talk about having those conditions or their experiences in those conditions. Or if you want to hear from like medical professionals or people working in the healthcare sector, which is physiotherapists, nutritionists, all those people, there's like a section for that. So if you do want to have a specific category, you can go to Patient POV podcast and there's categories there, or you can just take a listen top to bottom, bottom to top, whatever you want.
Oh, that's such a great way to do it. So somebody can go, you can kind of pick what you want to start with and go from there.
Exactly.
How else can other people find you, like online? Where should they connect with you?
Yeah. So patientpov.ca is .ca because we're in Canada here. I had to use the .ca. But I'm also on Instagram at Jess_and_Elda, which is ELDA. Elda, of course, is the service dog in training I have here. And then if you go on TikTok or YouTube, it's Patient POV is where you can find anything else. And then on Spotify or Apple Podcast is Patient POV. Yeah, that's kind of where you can find me.
I love it. Well, thank you for being here and chatting with me today and just sharing your experience and sharing that vulnerability and being generous with that information, because I know this episode is going to help other people in so many ways. And yes, any last thoughts or anything you want to share with our chronic illness besties out there on their journey?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I do appreciate you taking the time and having me. But yeah, I think the last thing that I would say is when you are dealing with a chronic illness and you're realizing there's something you can't do anymore, or you're feeling like sad about like, I used to be able to do whatever, I started changing my mindset from I wish I could be able to do that. I should be able to do that. All those shoulds and coulds that we were talking about. But it honestly, I did a mindset shift of like having it as a grieving process. And so I ended up talked to a therapist. That's my number one advocate right there. But it ended up being like, we went through the steps of like the grieving process. And by coming through the grieving process of like, who I could have been, I was able to like accept the person I am now. And that's been like a really huge mindset shift and like has improved my overall mental health, because I was in nursing school when I was really getting through the thick of my chronic illness. And so I ended up having to stop nursing school because I couldn't physically do it anymore because of the chronic illness. And so it was like that grieving of like who I thought I was going to become. And so I would suggest just talking to a therapist specifically about the grief, because it is a form of grieving of the fact that you are losing something, which is like who you think you could have come. And then once you're able to kind of grieve through that, then you're able to accept and move forward as like the person you get to become.
I love that. And I love how you said that you get to become, because it's so true. And to anybody listening, or if somebody sends you this episode and you are listening and you are here now, please know the person you are now, yes, this person is different. They have different wants. They have different needs. They have different maybe career path or life plans and different things. But the person that you are is just as freaking lovable. You are just as much to be somebody that deserves the best and deserves to live a full life, no matter what. No matter what that journey looks like, you are still worthy and you are still lovable. And I want to share that with you, Jess, because it is so true. And you're helping so many people, which is incredible. And your journey has brought you here. And I'm just so glad that it has brought you into my world.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And I love that we were able to form this connection as well.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us and listening to this episode. If this episode inspired you or you connected with it, we would love to hear from you. Can you do us a favor? Take just 2 minutes to leave us a review. Your words can make the world of a difference on our podcast journey. We genuinely appreciate your support. Hit that subscribe button and click the plus sign at the top to follow us. That way, you'll be the first to know when a new episode drops. Trust me, you won't want to miss the exciting content we have in store. Remember, you are not alone on this journey. Until next time, sending you love, hugs, and all the spoons.